Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time again. Good morning, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of NDB Media's Sports Talk with the Guys, home of the Monday Morning Quarterbacks on Saturday. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it is that glorious morning, and I am joined by the great man himself, the glorious winner, the mailman. Well, maybe not the mailman, but he is the six-time world champion. He is Lou Alcindor, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome, Lou. How are you doing this morning?
Huh?
Oh, yeah. Isn't Kareem Abdul-Jabbar your favorite guy there, big dog?
Yes, he is.
Okay, I just thought for a moment you might be Lou Alcindor, but it's okay. Ladies and gentlemen, of course, he is my co-host, the star of this program, the one that everyone loves. And I mean that in every which way. I don't know why they love him. I hate him for that. So everyone does not love him by that definition. But he is, of course, the big dog, the cuddly bear of sports radio. How are you doing there, big dog?
Oh, I'm doing very well. But I just want to clarify something. You do love me because you love to hate me. So there, in fact, I am love.
Oh, so we're back in it. All right. So that is good. Of course, ladies and gentlemen, I am the scorekeeper, and this is Saturday Morning Sports Talk for the Guys. We're getting this program up and going. It is a glorious, glorious Saturday morning. It is February 23rd, and I want to welcome everyone in the chat room. Don't forget to take on a persona. And, well, I'm sorry, I'm out of practice. Go ahead and register at blogtalkradio.com. Go ahead and take on a persona and be someone and engage us in the interactive chat room. Yes, big dog, it's not as usual as it is because the voice already is going. I don't know how long it's going to survive, but we'll see.
Well, you know, you should use the old Mexican method, you know, to get your voice back. You know, a spoonful of honey and a shot of tequila.
Ah, I have a tequila. I'm not so certain I have the honey, but I'm going to have to see what I can get there. And I'm talking about the bee honey because I have lots of honey. But that's neither here nor there. I'm not going to involve Mrs. Scorekeeper this early in the morning. Big Dog, oh, my God, as always, there's a lot of stuff to talk about. And there is a lot of news coming out of Los Angeles about the NFL and whether they're finally going to be making their decision on a new team or not. Unbelievable.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, No team has filed any transfer papers to transfer to Los Angeles, so we're going to have to wait and see whether it be a new team, which it doesn't seem like NFL is willing to do, but it's going to still be interesting, you know. We'll see whenever they decide to actually break ground, which still has not happened.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting, Big Dog, when we consider that the team or the facility is now ready to go, a brand-new facility, a 70-some thousand-seat facility right next to Staples Center, right next to LA Live. I mean, it's going to be a happening place. To me, Big Dog, when I drive by there, it just doesn't look like the stadium's going to fit there, honestly.
I totally agree. You know, it doesn't look like it's going to fit, but, of course, all the, you know, those so-called engineers feel that it'll fit. It'll be a snug fit, but it will fit. All I fear or dread, actually, not fear, but what I dread is that one Sunday where you'll have a football game and a either hockey or a basketball game later on that evening. The traffic is going to be a nightmare as it is. Los Angeles traffic is a nightmare. This is going to be even worse.
Wait a minute. You're saying that you're expecting a basketball game, you're expecting a hockey game, and you're also expecting a football game, and you're also expecting a concert. Big Dog, I can see all of that happening. Wow.
Yes, yeah, as I can imagine the traffic.
And it's all within one block of each other, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, the Staples Center and Farmers Field would be on the same block, and then LA Live is on the other side of the street.
Yep. That is so very true. And, of course, all the people that just straggle in to go to the movies because there is a movie complex also at LA Live. So you have those that traffic also.
So I guess we're finally going to know what it's like to live in New York. And speaking of the antithesis of, yes, oh my goodness, it's Bri-Bri. Good morning, Brian. Oh, my. Oh, I love it, love it. So there's a conversation going on Facebook this morning about an event that's going to be taking place. And I added the Big Dog. I think you're now part of that conversation, right, Big Dog?
Yeah, I haven't answered, but yes, I will be there. There just you know when I will be there, and just to a comment there. Sorry, Brian, I won't do the Bri-Bri thing. That's between you and Roger.
Yeah. Anyway, it is what it is. I'm glad Brian is in this early in the morning, and of course, as I mentioned, all of our guests as well. We're talking about a little bit of the NFL football going on right now. Well, there's just talk over in Los Angeles right now. And a lot of friends that have come to visit me in the last few days, and I want to thank them all. It's been great. We've been able to break some bread. Juan and Darlene were over on Thursday. Luis Casas was over yesterday. Mike was over on Tuesday. I gotta tell you, they've been having quite a few, and they've been talking about the NFL football. And this is really surprising that for not having football, fans who are casual fans are talking about this, Big Dog. And it's amazing to me that the NFL is now – I mean, what can they say, Big Dog? First, we are not going back to the Coliseum because it's the area and the facility. So that's been done. Carson's off the table. Whatever other place is off the table. And now they got the downtown stadium ready to go, and now they're not moving. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, they pushed and pushed and pushed, and, you know, it's the same old thing that you and I have been used to in retail for so many years. Hurry, 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 hurry. Okay, now wait.
Oh, yes. Or for those of you that have flown on an airplane, the first thing that everyone does when they land, they hurry to get their bags, and they stand up and do nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
When you're on an airplane, so it is. So maybe Tarvino will be giving us a call in a little bit, but yes, there is big news. Maybe he'll be announcing it. You might have some details on it, on what we're talking about. But you notice I changed the conversation because it just said conversation. I said, oh, Bri-Bri's blankety blank. That ended up kind of funny. I didn't know that I had the authority to change a conversation that someone else initiated on Facebook.
Of course. Do you have that power? You're a Palpatine.
I was watching my daughter. Alan was over yesterday. Bears fan. A Chicago Bears fan was here yesterday. And they were they were getting it going on the, Call of Duty Black Ops. And where they say Overlord. I'm like, I'm in the movie. I'm like, that is so awesome. I'm in Black Ops. So, yeah, it's fun. And watching these two kids go at it, that was great, man. Those are really good. I mean, next time I need to take out some digital refinery, those are my two go-to kids. Yeah, albeit Alan is turning 21 in May. We're going to have to really do something for that little kid. And, of course, my little one turned 16 next month, Big Dog.
Yeah. Time flies, does it not?
Man, I had another friend, Leo, in on Friday, and I looked back and I said, man, I remember when this kid was born in 94, this kid's 9. Wow. I wonder how old Anthony's kid is now. I remember when we went down his house and all of a sudden he started speaking. Oh, my God, it speaks.
I remember that. Oh, God, he's got to be what?
He got mad. What?
Yeah. He's got to be what, 23, 24?
Probably. That was funny. I mean, it's true. I hadn't heard him. And we started asking dads, and they're like, oh my God, it speaks. Oh, I'll never forget that, man. That was funny. But all right, Big Dog, we're really going and blowing this early in the morning. Ladies and gentlemen, we got a lot of stuff to go on over. We're going to get to it right now. We want to thank everyone that's listening both live in the archive. And, of course, we want to thank, most importantly, Blog Talk Radio, because once again, you gave it to us in the nuts. So, but hey, obviously we're in S&M because we stay on as customers. Unbelievable. So, and don't worry, when I say we, I meant the NDB Media Network. So, oh, news on the advertising front, Big Dog. Looks like I have the two lead advertisers in. Oh, my God. So it looks like we're finally going to be making a few pennies.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. So, speaking of going on with the S&M, how's basketball there, Big Dog? Oh, my God. My condolences, Big Dog. I'm so sorry. We'll get to that right now. Probably the biggest bit of news going on in Lakerland is, I would have to say, the passing of the torch. And the Big Dog now knows what happened when George M. Steinbrenner III passed away. Tell us, what's going on, Big Dog?
Well, for those who know and don't know, of course, Laker owner, possibly the greatest owner in all of sports, and I can say that with the utmost confidence. I mean, he has done so much. Dr. Jerry Buss passed away, I believe it was Monday morning, at the age of 80. He had been battling cancer for the last 18 months. There had been talk about that the last couple few weeks. It had finally leaked out, but I will give it to the Laker press and family, the Laker family and his actual immediate family. They did not leak that, the fact that he was in the hospital battling cancer. The official diagnosis of his passing was kidney failure, but that, would, of course, was due to his cancer. This was a very innovative man who took a lot of risk, and things that he did, when he did them, he was the first to do it. He was the first to bring in cheerleaders into the basketball games. He wanted entertainment. That was his whole thing. His whole thing is when he bought the Lakers, of course, just a real quick story, he started out with his business partner, Frank Marinieri. They invested $1,000 each in an apartment complex in West Hollywood and in the early 70s. And that turned into a real estate dynasty, I guess you could call it. I mean, he became a millionaire within just a few years. They just kept buying and flipping, buying and flipping. And, of course, here in California, I mean, he was buying prime real estate in all the prime areas. So the money just became there. And he started getting into sports. A scorekeeper will probably remember this. Back in the day, the LA Streams, which was a professional tennis team that he bought into before he bought the Lakers. And the opportunity arose in 1979. Jack Kent Cook was selling the Lakers, and Dr. Buss bought the Lakers, the LA Kings, the Fabulous Forum, which I will always call it that, and a 13,000-acre ranch in Kern County for $67.5 million. Now, that is a paltry fee when we look at it today, but at the time in 1979, that was the biggest sports transaction ever in history, and that's what he did. And, of course, Magic Johnson was drafted that same summer, and Showtime erupted. I mean, and he had it that basketball games were an event, and he wanted, as I said, entertainment. So he brought the Laker girls in. He was also the first person to start putting advertising on the boards in hockey games, you know, from advertisers. He was the first to do that, and he was vilified for that because the traditionalists were saying, "Oh, you can't have advertising. What kind of stuff is that?" It's now done by everyone. He was also one of the first people to do the naming rights in the mid-'80s when he sold the naming rights to the Fabulous Forum to the Great Western Bank, and it became the Great Western Forum. That had never been done before. So, I mean, he was just an innovator. He had the imagination to see the business opportunities that were out there, and he took the risk to do it. And he enjoyed life. I don't think I ever, if I remember correctly, I don't think he ever dated anyone over the age of 25. So he was a playboy. He was up there with Hugh Hefner. Excuse me one second, guys.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Big Dog. I remember Keith Olbermann one time was talking about one of his girlfriends named Puppy Bus. And I remember the San Diego Padres pitcher Eric Schau was having something. I think he was one of those John Birch Society members, and he was getting involved with younger girls too. So I think and I'm paraphrasing because this happened like 20 years ago. I remember Keith Olbermann said, "Well, I can't wait till Eric Schau gets his girlfriend named Puppy, because you know you had one called Puppy Bus, and then of course you'd have the other one called Puppy Shell." But hey, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, Dr. Bus, I mean, what can you say? I mean, as far as an owner goes, I don't think there's ever been anyone close to his type of success in the ownership that any sports franchise has had. Maybe the Yankees might be the only ones that are close to rivaling what Buss did in his 33 and a half seasons, because we're halfway into this season. But in his 33
How many championships do the Lakers have?
Juan. I'm sorry?
How many championships did they win under Buss?
I was just going to say that. Yeah, under Dr. Buss, they won 10 championships in 33 years, 16 appearances in the finals, 24 Western Conference championships, and it just goes on and on. Of course, all the superstars, Hall of Famers that he was able to acquire through his leadership. And I don't think there's ever going to be an owner that can put up those type of numbers or put up those type of championships ever by any, whether it's baseball, basketball, football, or hockey. I don't think there's going to be an owner that can come close to what Dr. Buss has done in those 33 years that he was the owner. Of course, the last couple of years he had passed the torch on to his two children, Jeannie Buss, who takes care of the financial side of the Lakers, and Jim Buss, who takes care of the basketball side of the Lakers, and they've done so for the last couple of years. But still, the final decisions did go through Dr. Jerry Buss, and the sports world lost someone extremely important. And of course, here at NDB Media, of course, myself personally, our condolences go out to the Buss family. There was a beautiful service on Thursday that was broadcast on the Lakers Sports Network. It was at the Nokia Center, and it was just a celebration of his life. And of course, yesterday he was laid to rest in Hollywood in a very private ceremony that was just family only. And Lakers now will just move on.
You know, Big Dog, I remember when George Steinbrenner passed away, for me as a Laker fan, it was of great concern and consternation. I was unhappy about it, and I feared for the future of the Yankees, and I still fear for the future of the Yankees, because they are, and get over it, people, and with all respect to Mr. Buss, you know, they are the richest, most successful organization there is in sports, period. I mean, when you look at all the money they're making and all the money they're spending, it's really amazing. It's just unbelievable. George Steinbrenner, you know, Mr. Buss, and even that owner from Texas, these guys are mavericks. They do things differently, and they're incredibly successful at what they do. It's, you know, love them or hate them, when they leave, you know, fans do worry. It's, you know, look, being a sports fan is being part of a gang, ladies and gentlemen, because if you look at what it is, it's the exact same mentality as being part of a gang. Everyone's part of a gang. And when you lose your leader, it's a worry. You're worried where the direction is going and what you guys are going to be doing. I can only imagine what it's going to be with the Lakers, because the Buss Dr. Buss was always there. Who is leading the Lakers now? You know? It is a worry to the Lakers. I mean, what are your genuine thoughts on that, Big Dog? As we speak to Tarvino, and of course, we have the Cavs Potato in the chat room. Unbelievable. The hardest working man in sports has been doing so many things lately. It's just unbelievable. He is so good at what he does.
Yes, he is. I'm a little bit worried about the Lakers because Jim Buss has been making, you know, does some questionable things. The financial side of it, I'm not worried about too much. Jeannie Buss heard her father taught her well. I mean, he sent her to all the best business colleges. And not only is she beautiful, she's extremely intelligent. And she's been on the business side for years. In fact, she was the alternate governor. Of course, Dr. Buss was the governor that goes to the owner's meetings. But now with his passing, she takes over as governor. So the business side I'm not too worried about. It is the basketball side because Jim Buss, maybe now with Dr. Buss's passing, with you know his father passing away, maybe now he feels he'll have to step up and actually take a more involved commitment to the team. So this is, you know, for him, this may be a good thing as far as him getting into the more into the business. So we'll have to wait and see on that. But scorekeeper, how long has the Steinbrenners owned the Yankees?
I'm sorry, what was that, Big Dog?
How long have the Steinbrenners owned the Yankees?
The Steinbrenners have owned the Yankees from 1973. Excuse me. Now, there is an actual legal issue there. Whether the Yankees were officially owned in 73 or in 74. So, but the point is, most everyone, and it's been brought up, people do say, well, no, it's from this. Okay, well, whatever. Many accounts have that it was purchased in 1973, but I believe the deal closed in 1974. So.
Well, let's say 1973. How many titles have you won since 73, since the Steinbrenners have been in power?
Well, they won it. They won in 78, 79, they won in 96, they won in 98, 99, 2000, and 2009.
Okay, so you have 7 titles under your ownership. Okay.
Yeah. No, you shut me up when you said, you know, that they had 10. I right away knew. I said, okay, yeah, you know.
And yeah, remember, I mean, it's incredible. That, like I said, the Yankees are probably the only other team that come close to what a sports team has done under one owner. It's just incredible. I mean, the incredible run that he had with the Lakers. I mean, you know, winning the championship in its first year as owner, you know, usually you don't see something like that happen. But, you know, it's just an incredible run, incredible man. I met Jerry Buss years ago, probably in the early 90s. He is was a comic book collector. And when I used to go down and have my friend out at the San Diego Comic Con, Dr. Buss actually came up to our table and we actually talked. And he's an extremely nice man. Very humble. To look at him, you would not know that he was worth hundreds of millions of dollars. Just like everybody's always said, he's always in a T-shirt and old blue jeans. I mean, that and tennis shoes. That was his dress. And you know, was extremely, extremely nice man. I got his autograph. And he gave us a little inside information that year. That was the year that Orlando Woolridge was signed to the Lakers. And we found that out. About a week before it was announced to the press, friend who was the owner of the comic shop said that he would give Buss a little bit extra discount if we would get some inside information. And so Buss told us, you know, we kept it quiet, you know, no one said anything. Of course, back then there wasn't all the social media that there is now, but he was a really nice guy, really pleasant to talk to, very intelligent. And anybody out there who doesn't know, he was not a medical doctor. He was a chemical doctor. He got his doctorate from USC in chemistry. So he was a chemist, and he was actually teaching for a little bit before he got into the real estate business. And when that took off, of course, he left his job there. And the rest, as they say, is history. So very interesting man. And as I said, just sorry to see him go.
Yeah, so am I. I really am. And I worry as to what's going to happen with the Lakers. But I want to go ahead and welcome everyone in the chat room, of course, all of our guests. We have Tarvino, Cash Potato, and, of course, we ourselves are in there. And we do have, I believe, the Cash Potato is listening in. So he does want in. I'm going to give him a moment to speak up because I think he's there. And if he doesn't, well, then he doesn't.
Good morning. I just rolled out of the bed. You want to know how popular you guys are? I woke up. I looked at the clock. I went, holy crap. I am missing Sports Talk with the Guys. I literally got up out of bed and made my way directly to the computer. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. Don't even get a cup of Joe yet. That's how good you guys are.
I want to thank you for that, Cash Potato. I did see the quote this early in the morning that I alluded to it with the big dog that you have been busting your butt. And I will say it right here, right now. The Couch Potato asked me for the most simplest of favors. Good deeds to be done. And the scorekeeper remembered at 10 o'clock last night.
It's okay. I had technical problems all day long on that baseball game. I was just like, we were in the area where the phones were a mess. I tried to even Skype it. I tried to use our G3 and it didn't work. And it just really, so we were just in a very bad area for this baseball game, which pretty much, you know, Dallas is covered pretty well. But if you go just a little bit too far north, that's a problem.
Oh, so maybe next time what you'll be able to do is record it and then just play it lively.
That's exact. I got the backup plan. I got the recorder all set just in case something like that. I got two microphones, you know, so if I am live on air. I did it last night for the basketball game, but the basketball game came out okay. But I did that. I taped it, and I was ready to go if something happened. So I didn't know if it was my equipment or the signal, but after that basketball game, it was this. I was having internet problems with the school internet, so I didn't even try the G3. But we were able to bring the basketball game last night, which they lost, unfortunately, was knocked out of the state tournament, so...
Oh, man, so you had playoff implications during that game.
Yeah, that was a great, and I missed the Tuesday's game. I was sitting at home doing almost literally nothing, and they had a game Tuesday that they won the first round. They didn't even tell me about when the first round was, so I missed that one, but at least I got the last game, but unfortunately was the one that ended. But we're going to start doing the baseball when they start doing league play. The tournaments are a problem because we cannot catch internet at those places, so that's going to be a problem. So we're going to only do the local area there so we can grab up on the internet.
It's incredible, ladies and gentlemen. And before I go to the big dog on this and we continue with Jerry Buss, because I want Cash Potato's opinion on it and on owners in general, what you're going to be getting, ladies and gentlemen, on the Couch Potato and the Sports Talk with the Guys channel is you are going to be getting a lot of local programming. It's already happening now, but it's going to be an explosion over the next few months and carrying on for the next few years.
Yep.
We are really reaching out to this stuff, and I got to say, it's really working out. And we're going to have an explosion of local programming, and it's going to be great. I think we're just going to be abusing both channels. You're just going to find a lot. I mean, we are. We're cross-channeling all the time, and I haven't told this to the Cash Potato, but we will probably have another channel available to us for a three-hour broadcast, which I'm going to be working on because I'm going to have to do it over here on the West Coast. So we are basically going to have up to four different programs of local broadcasting per day, huh, Sonny? Unbelievable.
Yeah, It is. It's crazy, and sports are all year long, and I'm going to be working with the – and what it is, it's just a matter of offering off services to the school to where it doesn't cost them anything, but then you work a little bit to get the commercials. So, and believe me, we're not getting rich off the commercials. We just want to make sure we make a little money as we're having fun, and because it turns into – a full-time job in reality, if you think about it, at part-time pay. So we get a little money, but it's a lot of fun, and that's the good thing about it. So, yeah, so you're going to be doing your daughter's softball games, right?
I am in – I cannot announce that yet.
Oh,
but I
forget that he's not doing that.
Oh, no. No, Sonny, no. I expect to. I can't say with 100% assurance is – but I am working on that right now. Yes, I fully expect to, but I can't say, oh, yeah, it's going to happen. You know, I mean, we're still working that out, but I expect to be able to. My daughter, for those of you that know and don't know, you know her as GMO on all the other channels, on Spook Nights and all that stuff.
Yep.
Ooh, Big Dog, she does tell a few dirty jokes, doesn't she?
Yes, it is. And every time she does, it surprises you.
It surprises me because I don't expect that. But anyway... My daughter, my 15-year-old, made junior varsity in softball. She's jazz, and I am no longer jazz because I'm realizing how much it's costing me.
A daughter in cheerleading. Every time I reach for my wallet, you know, the little bit that was in there, it was gone. So believe me, I know about that one.
Yeah, well, you know those, Sonny, and I know the Big Dogs. Has to think this, because we all have something in common like that, is that we see them bust their butt for it, and I happily spend it. We kid around as adults, saying, but oh no, because I see her busting her behind, I see her light up, I see her family members, my family members, genuinely excited over the fact that she made the junior varsity, and the encouragement they give her, and it's beautiful, and I see it as well in her eyes, and I'm jazzed.
Is she a freshman there, Big Dog?
No, or she's a sophomore.
Okay.
And for those of you that know and don't know, she is taller than most of the girls. She's like 5'5", or 5'6", so she's tall, and she's a lefty. Yeah. So she's more than likely the starting first baseman on the team, and she's doing great. Went to the batting cages this past Sunday, and she did very well. But anyway, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, we're way off track. The point is, we have a lot of stuff that we're going to be doing on local sports.
Yeah.
And I was actually mistaken when I said four channels. I mean three channels, Couch Potatoes, NDB Sports, and this channel. But this channel, we can put two programs on live. But if they're recorded, we can put as many as we want on. But, ladies and gentlemen, that was just a peek as to what's coming. I'm sorry if we were blowing our own horn, but, hey, there's a lot coming this way. And we're still going to be adding more. So, going back to the Big Dog, two things. The Big Dog has something similar with you, Couch Potato, when it comes to cheering. And, of course, then we're going to get back to the Dr. Bus issue. So, please, Big Dog.
Yes.
Your daughter has an event today, doesn't she?
Yes, she is going to be competing at Asbury Farm today for her regional championships. So we'll see. And then, of course, we have Las Vegas April 19th and 20th, I believe, or 20 and 21st, whatever that Friday, Saturday is in April in Las Vegas. So that'll be interesting.
Yep. And there you go. Open the wallet, because now you're traveling, now you're getting hotel rooms, now you're getting, open the wallet.
Oh, yeah, I know.
However, the plaza, next time we're able to get to Vegas, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, the plaza for the money, you try to grab up the plaza, Big Dog. They got a $10, they got a $10, resort fee, but you get free internet there. So the plaza, and plus they've revamped the plaza. It's beautiful. And it's not the old broken down hotel anymore. They revamped it and they're making it look really, really contemporary. And it's really, really nice. You'll love it.
Well, Tony, when Mixmaster Mike and Bam went along with me, that's where we stayed, at the plaza.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to tell you, for those of you that know and don't know, ladies and gentlemen, many, many Las Vegas movies have been filmed at
yep.
the plaza. Most notably, Casino.
Back to the Future.
Oh, actually, yes, that's right. So that's Back to the Future as well. But for those of you that are big Casino fans, the movie Casino with What's-Her-Face, oh, my God, the one from Basic Instinct, she was in it. And they filmed it. I'm sorry, Sharon Stone, right? Yes. She was there, and not Dustin Hoffman, Al Pacino, right?
No, De Niro.
Yeah, and who's that?
De Niro.
Who's that lippy one?
Yeah. So yeah. There's a lot of stuff there. It's a nice casino. It's really great because you can
and
recognize.
Even better, since you've been there, scorekeeper, since you've been there, there was a casino that was being built. They went bankrupt. The plaza bought all their fixtures inside this new casino, so it's like they moved that casino that they were building over to the plaza. And it I think if you haven't been in there since you've been there and stayed there, it's even better. That's how nice that place is. It's even better, more contemporary, more more, and the rooms are immaculate now.
Wow. I know Binion's, where we've done our programs, has changed quite a bit.
Yes,
I haven't been to their rooms. But the Big Dog and I stayed. Where was the Big Dog? The Four Queens, did you say?
Yep.
The Four Queens, yes.
They were nice, clean rooms, Sonny. That's all I can say.
And you got to be careful with the Four Queens, especially when you're buying them on. And I'm just learning this because last time I was there, I got in a day early and I was staying at the Four Queens because I like the room so much. You got to be careful that you don't get the deluxe room because it is a cracker box. You got to get the bigger room. So be careful with that. We're giving Las Vegas tips. How about that? So, but even the cracker box was clean, 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 clean. And I don't know about you. I mean, I'm just one person when I was traveling, so the cracker box was okay. But if the place isn't clean, I'm not interested. And this place was very clean, so even if you get the cracker box room, as long as it's clean, you'll be happy and you'll like it. They're revamping downtown because the Strip is really getting competitive. What Fremont is doing is grabbing the players that are 40 years old and older and trying to keep them downtown instead of running out to the Strip, where lots of money's obviously being spent. And now people are catching on. The Fremont has become the blue collar of Las Vegas, and that's where I prefer to stay. I mean, I'll go out there to the Strip to look, but to play and have fun, I stay right down there at Fremont.
Yeah, and final thoughts again before we get back to the Dr. Bus thing. I still want to give a shout out to our first and only appearance at the oldest casino in downtown, the Golden Gate. Let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, they were still, in my humble opinion, the best, because they're the ones that treated us to drinks. I'm sorry, I'm admitting it. They treated us to drinks when we were doing the program, and they gave us the meals after the program.
Mm-hmm.
That was nice. I, ladies and gentlemen, I had never had New York State, and I did there, and it was compliments of the Golden Gate. Let me tell you, that was nice. I still want to give the Golden Gate love. It is like the oldest casino, and it's a small, intimate casino. But the staff were cool. Remember, if you listen to that program, I mean, even the people staff were getting in on it. I'll never forget that. That was so fun.
Get this, scorekeeper. And they have revamped where we were doing our show. They're back. They have opened that whole thing up, and they've got some cool displays. They had a car back there when I was there because I wanted to go in and look because we did our show. You know, I'm kind of curious. They opened up that whole back. They had a car back there, and they revamped the whole back of that place and opened it up. The restaurant's gone, and, you know, they've got a whole bunch of stuff. They got a restaurant back, even further back in there now. They've expanded that whole place, and I went up there. A friend of mine was staying at the Golden Gate, and the rooms, I don't know what the rooms look like, but the rooms at the Golden Gate, I'm going to tell you right now, they are being very competitive out there, the Fremont, with the newfangled stuff that's going on in the Strip. So if you want to spend $300 a night on a room, go ahead, but if you want to spend $30 to $50, you go to Fremont and you save a lot of money and you can have a lot more fun.
Yeah, and final thought, ladies and gentlemen, of all the programs where we've done live from Las Vegas, only the Golden Gate can we say that we did it on the casino floor, baby.
Absolutely.
And that
was at a time where it was unprecedented that they were doing the show on the casino floor. That's unprecedented. I mean, you got to get them off right near the sports book, which is where we did it at Binion's. With all due respect, that's where we did it at Binion's. But we were right there on a freaking blackjack table. How cool is that?
The pictures that we have, there's nothing there. Big Dog, take us on your comments on that, and let's get back to Dr. Buss and then carrying on us wherever else we need to go.
Oh, I mean, it was great. I mean, you're right. I mean, we were on a blackjack table. That was great. Had a great time. Waiting to see when we can do it again. I mean, we'll see who hosts us this time. But, it was great at the Golden Gate. Had a fun time. Of course, the ladies came over, and it was interesting asking them questions because they didn't know what was going on in sports. But they were good to look at.
Yeah, I do remember that. Jerry Buss passed away, ladies and gentlemen. You heard us talk about him earlier. And, of course, I want Sonny's opinion on it. I guess in relation to, Jones out there in Dallas. I mean, guys, if you think of the Maverick owners, you'd have to throw in Mark Cuban in there. Obviously, Jerry Jones is another one. But there are some other owners that really affected this game. George Steinbrenner, another one. It's really, really disheartening all of a sudden to see these guys go. Love them or hate them, ladies and gentlemen. You know, if you're a Laker fan, Jerry Buss was the Lakers. And now, you know, those that were against the Lakers, they hated Jerry Buss because of what he was able to do. And I don't know, Sonny, your technical or opinion on Jerry Buss passing away. Do you see a strong future for the Lakers?
Well, I don't know about a strong future. But here's what I do know. The people that you're talking about. Jerry Buss. George Steinbrenner. Jerry Jones. Mark Cuban. These are, like you say, Maverick. I kind of say it like this. They go with the beat of their own drum, okay? They're not influenced by other people who are, you know, invested into the company, you know, invested into the team. George Steinbrenner, you know, they don't care. They did what they wanted to do, and they do what they want to do with the ones that are alive. These guys don't care about what other people's opinions are. They are going with what they think is best. And it could be completely out of the norm. George Steinbrenner, over the salary cap every year, playing a luxury tax every single year. Not too many teams in Major League Baseball, if I'm not mistaken, are doing things like that. They didn't care because they understood the fact, and Cuban better get back up on this thinking. You got to spend money to make money. And these guys got that part figured out. Now, with the new regime that's coming in that's going to take over, if their thinking is not in that same way, and I say this, if the girl is going to be in control of Lakerland, I'm okay with it. I think that she understands it. But everybody else in the Laker organization, I don't know. It kind of scares me. But once you start falling down to what people in those corporations, and I say corporations because that's what they are. They're business, okay? Once the new people who are taking over are falling down to other people's opinion on how something should be ran after being so successful for so many years with one man's thinking, I think that could be a problem for the Lakers. Like I said, depending on who steps in. If the son steps in, I worry about it. If the daughter steps in, I'm not worried about it. I think she understands business and how it works. Take away from all that, I think that the Lakers are going to be okay, because if you think about what the Lakers are L.A. The Lakers aren't the Sacramento Kings. They're not the Clippers. They're not USC. There's no NFL team there. L.A. is the Lakers. L.A. is Hollywood. L.A. is Showtime. And I think they're going to be okay. But other franchises across the country, I would worry about.
I agree. And I appreciate that commentary there, Sonny. Big Dog, did you want to add anything else to that? I agree with Sonny 100% about, you know, Genie Bus. I based on what I've seen of this kid, the son, Junior.
He's a moron.
Yeah. Oh, by the way.
I'll say it. He's a moron. I don't live in L.A., so I'll say it. He's a moron. I mean, you know, you might get some emails saying, hey, that Sonny Clark is an idiot, but that guy's a moron. And not only that, I mean, when you get the daughter in there, she is so smart, guys. And here's just another thing to think about, and I think it's the most important thing to think about. When she steps up on the podium, okay, she's beautiful, man, to look at. Jeez Louise.
Yeah, she is. She, as I said before, she will be continuing on the business side of the Lakers. Unfortunately, and I can say this because I'm a Lakers fan, unfortunately, Jim Buss will be in charge of the basketball side. The only difference now is he wants Dad to have the final say, because Jerry Buss always had the final say, even in these last couple of years. Now Jim Buss will take total control of the basketball side of things. Hopefully, he will be smart enough to see what his dad did and surround himself with people with basketball knowledge, like the way Dr. Buss did with Jerry West. And Chick Hearn for a while was like a general manager. I mean, people that have been around for years and years and know what they're talking about. Hopefully, Jim Buss will surround himself with those type of people to help him with his business decisions. And as I said before, he's going to have to step it up. It is common knowledge that he does not like to be in the office. They see him maybe every couple of weeks, maybe once. And if you're going to run a franchise, any sports franchise, let alone the Lakers, you need to be there every day. And anybody who's seen the memorial service, I don't know who's seen him or not, but Jim Hill was on there, who's a local sportscaster here in Los Angeles, and talk about Dr. Buss, how that, you know, even though Buss would party all night long, you know, he would be there before anybody else would get into the office, and he would be the last one to leave. And that's the way he did it all the time. Jim Buss, his son, needs to step up and do exactly that. I mean, he needs to be there before everyone, needs to be there and to leave after everyone to make sure things are going to get done right. As you guys have said before, Genie Buss understands that, and she knows that, and she does that, and that's why they're so successful on the business side. So we'll have to wait and see in the next couple of years what happens, though.
Hey, Big Dog, do you think that Jerry Buss let and when this signing happened, when they grabbed up that center from Orlando, his name is slipping my mind, the ones they're having problems with, do you think Dwight Howard. Do you think that was an experiment? I mean, because I'll be honest with you. I don't know if Dr. Buss would have went for this guy. I'll be honest with you. I just, you know, with Kobe, it's like I think he understood Kobe's thinking. And, you know, this is Kobe's team. And sometimes, you know, although I'm very much against it, sometimes you just got to bow to a player like a Kobe Bryant. Do you think maybe this was an instance where that he was playing an experiment with Dwight Howard? The worst thing happened is a half year because they weren't going to renegotiate the contract to see what kind of step that was going to be for this franchise. And maybe some people say it was probably the move that put the last nail in the bus's coffin, for crying out loud. You know, he just can't take it. So he just checked out. But I don't know. What do you think? I mean, was that an experiment or was that Jerry Buss, or do you know?
I think this was more of a Jim Buss type of a move. I think, as I said, for about the last 18 months, he's been more in the hospital than out of the hospital, battling the cancer that he was battling that no one knew about other than the upper echelon of the Laker people knew that how sick he actually was. So I think he was giving more and more power to his son. And as you said, you know, Kobe wanted someone, and Dwight was there, and they made that trade. It turns out actually to be a good trade because Andrew Bynum still has not played this year, and there's a lot of talk that he may not play this year at all. So even though Dwight's been hurt the last few games, he seems to have been stepping up a bit more. So we'll have to wait and see. I personally think that Dwight's going to stay with the Lakers. I don't think he's going to go anywhere else. The money that he can earn is so much more with the Lakers than if he goes to an outside team because of the extra year, and that's an extra $25, $30 million that he's going to be able to make.
Really quick, Big Dog. You know, I was listening. You know, I hate Colin Cowherd, but I was driving so much yesterday listening to ESPN. If money is an issue, and they down here in Dallas, they grabbed up that guy right before the trade deadline, which is a guy Dwight Howard wants. Now Dallas gets the opportunity to sell the no state sales tax or the no state taxes. And I'm going to tell you the numbers if they are right. And normally, I mean, Colin Cowherd, I don't like him, but he knows his stuff. He finds out and he backs up what he says. You were talking about forget that extra year, for crying out loud, on a contract. You can sign for 1 year later and make more than what you would if he had that extra year on it because of the no taxes down here. And I think what's going on is that, they were not going to be able to get Dwight Howard before the end of this year. But next year, there is a team that is primed to go get him and save, and we're talking on one of those big long contracts, okay? And I say long contract, 4 to 5 year contracts for Dwight Howard, okay? He could save a year of salary just on taxes. But that's going to be the huge question. Will he go to the non-taxes and put more money in his pocket? Because Mark Cuban is not stupid. He realizes these last 2 years down here in Dallas with them not spending money is not going to be the way to go if you're going to have any kind of success in the NBA. He's already found that out the hard way. Now, with Dwight Howard, now he's grabbing up players that Dwight Howard said that he would love to play with. You know, there you go. Will money be a factor when it comes to that as far as the taxes and everything? Will it actually come back? I think it really will have something to do because this guy's used to playing in a secondary market in Orlando instead of going out there and right there in the middle of all of the news and TV, Showtime, Hollywood. It's just something that he's not used to.
That's true. And to add what you were saying, actually there's another team now that's emerging that's going to have a ton of money next year. And that is the Houston Rockets.
Yes.
They're having a nice little run right now. You know, they have James Harden. He's going to be their one of their scorers. Of course, they have Jeremy Lin there. And there is enough cap space. I saw an article yesterday. All they have to do is get rid of a couple of bench players, the 10th and 11th guys. And they'll have enough cap space to actually make a run for Dwight Howard, and they did bring up the same thing about the no state tax and how much money he'll be saving. The Lakers, I mean, it's hard because you're right. I don't know if Dwight is ready for that type of a spotlight. a New York spotlight or an L.A. spotlight.
Yep.
And, right, he's used to the secondary market. The thing, though, is what the Lakers are going to have to do is they're going to have to push the fact that, you know, Kobe's going to retire maybe in a, you know, probably in a year, maybe 2 years tops, and then it's going to be Dwight's team. And I think the Lakers will be smart enough and get their people, and probably Jeannie Buss, since she is the financial side, and she'll go up and she'll say, look at all these contracts that are all these commercials and all this other stuff that you can get outside of basketball that you can only get here in L.A. that you're not going to get that type of money in
yep.
Dallas or Houston or, you know, if you go somewhere else. So there's a of course, there's the perks to L.A., and, of course, the taxes that we have, of course, is the killer part. But I think it's all going to be on Dwight. I think it's going to be a hard sell. I think we can keep him just on the fact that he wants to be the man, you know. And everybody knows Kobe. Even Kobe says he's going to retire within 2 years. So if he just waits it out a couple of years, he knows he'll be the main guy again. But, you know, we'll see how the upper management is at that time, you know, by the end of the year, who's going to, I guess, be calling the shots at that time.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how it goes. Scorekeeper, and the financial part was what I thought you would be interesting to you as far as what it's looked like. And if this is true, I think it's nuts, but from what I was reading, that players that actually choose an L.A. market and choose a California market, and that kind of money that they make, they also have what they call a millionaire tax, where 10% of what you make up on top of all the other taxes, you're dumping into the state there as well.
Yes, as a matter of fact, Sonny, that is 100% correct. California does have an incredibly high rate of taxes. There is the millionaire's tax. And for those of you that know and don't know, what is really amazing is there are some incredibly – we refer to them as blue laws on our Tuesday night program, such as, did you guys know that there's still a law in Boston that says that you are required to take your rifle to church on Sunday, which dates back to the colonial days,
yep.
But they're called blue laws because they're not enforced anymore. But along those lines, there are obscure laws around the United States directed at professional athletes, and there are the surtaxes. When you, as a player from Texas, if there's no tax over there, come over to California, you bet damn right there are taxes. If you play 6 days in California, 3 days, whatever, you have to pay 3 days of your 3 days of your salary in California taxes, because that's where you played it. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
That's why. Taxes for athletes are incredibly complex, and that's why you have lawyers and financial lawyers handling the taxes for professional athletes, because they are so incredibly complex. And it's really amazing. California has a surtax. I think I'm not sure if it's New Hampshire or something or somewhere up there. They also have a surtax on millions. And there's a little app that I have that I just saw recently, Sonny, and I saw that. So I was like, wow, pretty crazy. But you are so right, Sonny. There is a surtax in certain states on the millionaires. And I believe L.A. City also charges athletes something. L.A. County does not, but L.A. City does, and then California does. So if you have people coming in from all the states to come in and play, they're paying through the nose every time they come to California.
I'm wondering if that, and I learned a lot about this because after Colin Cowherd was talking about it, I actually went and looked. It makes you wonder, and what you're saying was true, by the way. What it makes you wonder is if, you know, if it's built in to a contract, if you live in L.A. You catch what I'm saying? You live in California, or you play in California for a big market, the Angels, the Lakers. Makes you kind of wonder if it's built into a contract that part's taken care of outside, you know what I'm saying? You catch, you know, kind of like a perk. Well, if you play here, you know, really your salary's this. We'll say you make this, but it's really this. But what we're doing is we're taking care of some of your taxes. And you got to think that's going on over there in California, don't you think?
Well, it's not a stretch, Sonny, because I know that when players were going to Canada, there was an issue of taxes over there.
Oh, yeah, their taxes are even worse.
Yeah, the teams were talking about, no, we will pay you more to cover your taxes. So, yeah, Sonny, it's not a stretch. I believe your logic is sound, dare I say, steal a line from Star Trek.
Yeah, so I find that very interesting. And I, you know, you learn a lot once an issue is raised. Not that anybody feels sorry for these athletes, but I'm going to tell you folks that, you know, these athletes are giving up close to 60% of their salaries to taxes and everything. And by the time everything's said and done, they're really only getting 40% of their money that they make, which makes what Shaq has been doing over the years, you know, look like a creative genius. I mean, he was known as, and I think Big Dog can probably back me up when I say this, Shaq was known as a dummy. Shaq is no dummy. I'm going to tell you right now, that guy is so smart. He's so smart to play the dummy, I guess is what you could say right there, Big Dog.
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, it's well known that throughout his playing career, he never cashed an NBA check.
That's amazing.
It all went into the bank, and all his endorsements, his movies and his rapping and all that covered everything that he had. And, you know, he put all that money in the bank, all the literally hundreds of millions of dollars that the Lakers, the Heat, Orlando, Phoenix, Boston, and Cleveland, I think that's everybody, paid him all those years where he never had to cash a single check. And now, of course, he's going to live the life of luxury along with his kids, grandkids, and great-grandkids, probably.
Yeah.
And you're right. I mean, he likes to play the part of the dummy, and he is no dummy. He's an extremely intelligent man that probably if he didn't know what was going on, he surrounded himself around people that did know.
Yep.
And got the right type of advisors. And that's the key. I mean, we've seen so many athletes, you know, 2, 3 years, 5 years after they get out of the business, They're dirt poor. They're bankrupt.
And
those young athletes are coming in now. Need to look at Shaq and say, what did he do? Why is he? You know, he's richer now than when he was playing. You know, what do I need to be like him? So you know, he's an example to the young athletes out there. You know, when you get yourself surrounded by the right people, you can live the life of luxury till you die.
Absolutely.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen, some expert commentary from the great pundits right here on Saturday morning. I got to tell you, I'm waiting for Bri-Bri to get in. I know he's probably busy. And oh, my goodness. Oh, damn, I don't even have the music. Speaking of the pundits, speaking of the Godfather, oh, my God, he is here. And dare I say, he is a god. The incredible, the edible, the Lenny Melnick.
Lenny Melnick. Love me some Lenny. By the way, tell Andy I was driving to a gig yesterday morning. I didn't ignore her, but I wasn't able to do the show yesterday morning there on NDB Media Sports Channel. Sorry about that, scorekeeper.
Oh, okay. Yeah, too bad you were doing like 3 other sports programs, right? Yeah.
Hey,
yeah, I figure you were a bit on the busy side. Well, good morning, Lenny. Glad to have you here with us. It's 10 a.m. over on the East Coast. Morning. So, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're having a good time. We're now entering the second hour here on Sports Talk with the Guys. Great Saturday morning. We're having a good time. Big Dog,
we've got
a lot of stuff on your owner. Where are we going now? There's so much sports to go over. What happened?
We're gonna go girl power. Because it is a Girl Power Weekend, guys. And for those who don't know, of course, is the NASCAR is kicking off their season with, of course, the legendary Daytona 500. And, of course, the Dokes have been going crazy because Miss Danica Patrick won the pole. So Danica will be on the pole tomorrow. first woman ever, of course, to win the pole, I think, in any race. Let alone it being the Daytona 500, which probably only is second to the Indy 500 as far as the prestigiousness of this race. A lot of people are looking for a lot of things to happen for Danica Patrick this year to see if maybe she can finally win a NASCAR race. She's won a couple of the nationwide races, but hasn't won the actual a big race in NASCAR in the sprint championships. So the fact that she took the pole is a good, hopefully, precursor for her for the season to see how she does. I think she's planning on a full schedule this year. So we'll see. Scorekeeper, Couch, any comments on her? Or?
I winning the poll is a big thing. I get it, and I understand. But when was the last time a guy who actually won the poll actually won the race?
That's true. It's been a while.
I'm not criticizing her. Okay. I mean, because obviously she needs to step it up, and I'll even give it to her because I don't like the girl. I like looking at her, and like I said, she should just go to Playboy and get that all done. But take away from that. That's the first step of being relevant, I think. I mean, in reality, when you think about it, no one's worried about Danica Patrick. You know, no other, and they won't say it. They won't say it publicly. But none of those guys are afraid of her. They, so for her to become relevant, this is one of the first steps that she needs to take in order to be that guy. And I say guy in a different way. You know, if she wants to make herself known as being one of the better race car drivers out there, she'll step it up. She'll win the pole. Now, here's what's going to happen. Then she'll win a race. Until the woman wins a race, no one's going to look at her seriously.
Well, she's won a race, but I want to bring Darth Vader in on us to the live phone call. How you doing, Godfather of Sports?
Doing good. Since you started talking about Danica Patrick, I decided to... as the music goes off in the background. Danica Patrick, very interesting. She's my role model.
Is that having anything to do with the fact that she won the poll?
Yeah, well, I'm not going to get into that thing with the poll, but there's been talking about the fact that she has an unfair advantage because of her weight. And so that's starting to come out now. The weight of the drivers is supposed to, and some guy came up with a deal saying that weight of the drivers has a significant, will give a significant edge to her. So we'll see how that comes out. I don't think men can live with the thought of a woman beating them. They got to come up with some kind of excuse.
Yeah, I think they do, Lenny. And we all know, Sonny, that she won the Indy race in Tokyo some years ago. So she has actually won a professional race. So,
not a NASCAR race, though, right?
Well, not NASCAR, but it was Indy. She started in Indy, pal, and she won a race already. So good for her. Now,
yes,
Lenny,
all right, so listen, I just wanted to say hello to you guys. I really, when you start talking about Danica Patrick, I lose control sometimes, so I couldn't help myself.
Hey, Lenny, I get that, but I'm just curious, Lenny, since we have met in person, and now I'm thinking about it, hey, Lenny, pardon me for being rude, but who's taller?
Me? Well, Danica Patrick is 5'2", and I'm 6'1", but I don't look it. You know, I carry it well. I carry my height very well.
What are the odds on that bet in Vegas? That's what I want. They say you can bet on anything in Vegas. I think I want a little part of that.
Yeah, well, just remember, when you're laying down, it could all even out. You know, it all depends on where you slide, right? So, that's where we take the measurements, okay? In any event, yeah, I do have one thing I want to say about baseball, all right? I think the biggest bust in baseball this year will be the Toronto Blue Jays. How's that? I just want to go down and on paper, the Toronto Blue Jays will be the biggest disappointment, as everybody's picking them to win the American League East. I say they're going to be a bust.
Why is that? I mean, Godfather, you can say it, but what's your reasoning, or is it just a gut feeling that you got?
No. Every team has a certain weakness. You know, the Yankees with their age and so and so. And, you know, people believe that a lot of the teams are kind of light in their starting pitching. But you take a look at that bullpen in Toronto. People don't realize how important the bullpen is.
God, yeah.
And with Casey Jansen leading the way as the closer, and he had shoulder surgery in the offseason. Sergio Santos had shoulder surgery. There's nobody in the bullpen. Their bullpen is awful, absolutely awful. And I think that's going to bite them. And I think that Toronto is going to suffer by a lack of bullpen. The starters are pretty good, but it's the bullpen that's going to let them down. And that could be a big factor in Major League Baseball. I'm not talking fantasy baseball now. Major League Baseball, I think that's going to kick them in the butt. So that's just my feeling right there. I take a look at the pitchers in the bullpen, and it's awful. They have a very tough situation there. Of course, they can pick up a player or two that may help, but until they do so, I'm saying that this is a ball club that it's not going to live up to their hype.
Thank you, Lenny.
So, there you go, my friend.
Right on. Now, Lenny, very quickly,
yes.
Please tell the entire world where we can find you in the digital realm.
In the digital realm? Well, first of all, on Sirius 210 XM87, Saturday and Sunday from 7 to 10 a.m. We're preempted today by the Combine. Could you imagine broadcasting the Combine on the radio? That's like having a pinball tournament on the radio, you know? Which, by the way, I have done years ago. I did a pinball tournament play-by-play talking about flippers and things like that. But, so we've been preempted today. And what do I do when I'm preempted with anything? I call the sports guys, man, that's for sure. That's where I really belong. And then Monday nights, we're all over the place on Sirius 210 XM87. Generally from, how about this, from 10 to 1 p.m. Eastern time. And
wow.
There's a lot of action in Las Vegas when we're on the show from 10 to 1 because people are betting how long I stay awake. And that's been, you know, the under over is usually 11:15.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know, so get your bets in on that one. And
oh,
of course,
man.
I'm not done yet.
Well,
By the way, I'm very proud of what we've done at Fantasy Pros this year. FantasyPros911.com. We've got a whole bunch of podcasts this year in addition to mine. Andrea is going to be podcasting up there. We've got we've got Dennis Farrell podcasting on the site now, and we are loaded. So I'm very proud of what we've done there. I'd like to have people come over and take a look, and I promise we will not disappoint you. How about that?
Good.
Oh, no, never disappoint. Ladies and gentlemen, the godfather of sports. He's been on the Major League Baseball Network. He's in the Hall of Fame. He is all over the place. Hey, that's great. Life's good, you know what?
Yes, it is. And by the way, there's going to be a video coming up on Facebook. I'm on Facebook.
My God.
So, I'm putting up a video of the Lenny Melnick Museum. Okay? It's almost complete. And it's really awesome. So I urge you just to take a look at it when it pops up there. And it's going to be very much like a tour of the White House. If you remember, Jacqueline Kennedy did it, and I think Ms. Obama did it. And, you know, they actually gave a tour of the White House, and I think Rosalind Carter did it. Well, Andrea Lamont is giving a tour of the Lenny Melnick Museum, and that should be a rip and a half. So stay tuned.
All right, I'm going to check that one out, no doubt about it.
That's the Museum of Unnatural History, by the way.
Oh, Big Dog, you've been silent before we lose Lenny. Anything, Big Dog.
Hey, what's the story with Dwight Howard? Is he staying on the Lakers, or what's going on with him?
I think he'll stay. They'll give him a – they'll wind him and dine him, and I think he'll stay with them. I don't think he'll be leaving for anybody else anytime soon.
Yeah, you think so? That's going to be pretty interesting to see how that pans out. So, hey, great going, guys. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Lenny. Always a thrill and a pleasure. The Godfather. He is the Godfather. Not a rotisserie sports, nothing. I have heard him.
Godfather.
Yeah, I've heard him do a lot of stuff, and it's great. It's always a thrill when Lenny calls in. So, nothing personal, Lenny, but I hope you get preempted more often than not.
Anyway.
And he's got a video. By the way, I was there's only a few people that I have pop up for everything that they post on Facebook because there's so many people. Lenny Melnick is one. And he put up a video, you know, geez, I think it was like mid-January or something like that, about a baseball player. They had the nets out on the field, so, you know, like those pitching nets that they shoot the ball back to you after you throw it. Well, they put them out on the field, and there's this kid out there who hit a baseball, and they had four nets, and they had it perfectly lined up to where the ball would hit one net and another net and another net, and then come back, and he hit the ball again and hit the net and hit the net and hit the net. It is cool. It's one of the coolest things I've seen as far as that kind of stuff. Kind of reminded me of some of those fancy commercials that they were doing on for one of those beer commercials that weren't real but looked like it was kind of like really, really astonishing. One of those beer commercials did it, although they weren't doing it. But this one was, I guess, is real. But you could take a look at that on Lenny Melnick's. He put some interesting stuff up on his Facebook, and that's one I follow.
Always interesting, nevertheless. And once again, he is our hero, no doubt about it. Short hero, but hero nevertheless. I still believe that Danica Patrick is taller than Lenny Melnick.
Huh.
I do.
I'm just not impressed by Danica Patrick. I'm so sick of it. I wish she'd retire and go away. And not because I don't want women in racing. I just think they're making such a huge federal case over her, and she's nothing special. There are a lot of other racers that have been doing what they've been doing as long as she has and have been more successful, but the fact that she's got a good bod and, you know, looks good in a bathing suit, she's getting more attention. That's the part I don't like about it. Like I said, she should just go to Playboy, get it done with, so we can be done with the Danica Patrick thing. Give her a couple million, you know, and let her line her pockets with money so we can get rid of her.
Okay, well, while you're saying that, I'm still enjoying the view, Sonny. She's a cutie, not about it. And good for her. And she's won before, so we'll see. Now, how did she qualify for the pole?
She had the fastest speed of all the other racers.
She did. She has the fastest, so good for her. That's the first time.
I think Chris Rock, though, said that his only job as a parent is to keep their daughter off the pole. So, who knows?
Wow. There it is, ladies and gentlemen. Big Dog, save us. Where are we going?
Well, we're going to the second part of Girl Power, which is actually time-wise, this is actually the first part. The precursor to the Daytona 500 will be tonight, here in Anaheim, headlining UFC 157 will be a women's championship match as Ronda Rousey, she's the first female champion in UFC history, will be the headliner against Liz Carmouche for the 133 title. Anybody out there that has ever seen Ronda Rousey, she is a very, very pretty woman. She can model, in fact, and she can kick your ass. She has not lost. Yeah, she has not lost. She is 6-0 in MMA, and Liz Carmouche is 8-2. This will be probably one of her biggest tests to see her fighting skills, as she has never gotten more than one round. She has beaten every single opponent in usually 2 minutes or less. And her favorite finishing maneuver is the cross arm bar. That's how she's finished all her fights. All her fights have been via submission. So she knows what she's doing. I saw a thing on her on HBO Sports. And her mom was a Olympic judo gold medalist, I believe, back in the day. So she has trained her daughter in judo. And, of course, she has learned all the other things of jiu-jitsu and everything else, as you know, for MMA. So she's a very well-rounded fighter, and that might be someone that a scorekeeper might want to take a look at. As I said, she is very, very pretty. And
Call. Did you actually say well-rounded fighter? Did you really say that?
That, hey, I giggled.
Okay, I guess it. All right, well, Big Dawson, there you are. Thank you for that. I know who she is, and I don't mean that biblically either. I'm just saying that I know who she is.
I wouldn't mind knowing her biblically. I know who she is. Now, that means something. Now, if Sonny Clark knows who an MMA fighter is, that means she's got something.
You left us speechless, Couch Potato. Ladies and gentlemen, we're having a great time this early morning. I want to welcome, of course, Matt Alvarez in the chat room. And Lenny Melnick is still around. Or he walked away and left the computer on to make us feel good. I'll still take it, though. I should take, hey, Big Dog, take a picture of that. Lenny Melnick is still in our chat room. So, I think it's awesome. Yeah, print screen, you know, all that stuff. And I think it's great. And, of course, Matt Alvarez, I guess he's not feeling very well this morning. Right, Big Dog?
Yeah, he says he's been sick all week, so he hasn't been able to go to school.
He has to go to school?
And he's gonna kick your guys' ass. I want to be there, and someone better have a video camera. I have a feeling if he has a bad day before he meets you guys, he's gonna go off.
Well, actually, Lenny. Well, look, I got Andrea to call a football game up there in 2010, and Lenny went along, and that's where we met to call that football game. So, I mean, that's one of the greatest highlights of my life. I called a football game with Andrea and Lenny.
You're lucky you got there, because I've seen some of the pictures with her driving with the computer in her lap. So you're lucky you got there.
Yeah, that was funny. I had to take a picture of that. That was absolutely hilarious. And the reason why I took the picture is because we were stopped. We were stopped on the roadway, and obviously I wasn't doing a good job of finding the radio station on the internet, so she said, here, give me the laptop. I'm like, yes. She has it. And I said, oh, I got to take a picture of this, because I know you can't tell, but the traffic coming at us is moving, so it gives the illusion that she was driving. But in fact, we're on the road. We're on the road, but we were stopped in traffic, and that's why we were looking for the traffic, but it looked so awesome. There was movement going in the background, so it looked like we were driving, and it was great. Otherwise, to her credit, she would not have asked for the laptop, because she was driving, and she could drive her, too. I mean, heck, Lenny was in the front seat. He must be a good driver.
He just always wanted a chauffeur.
Yeah, well, if you wanted a chauffeur, you can get any guy in the big wheel for that. I mean, Lenny will fit in the little basket in the back of the big wheel.
Keep that up, and Lenny's not going to call us back anymore.
Yeah, I was going to say, maybe next time he sees you guys, maybe he will kick your ass.
Well, you know what? For him to kick my ass, that would be more like a headbutt for him.
Or a high jump, right?
Because for him to kick my ass, he'd miss. He'd kick my knee.
Damn.
Oh, yeah, I love him. I love Lenny Melnick. He's great. And that's why I could get away with it. It was great. And I thought it was so funny, because when we went to a restaurant, I thought it was great, because I took a picture of what he ordered. And I said, man, the guy is short. Not only is he short, but he also buys his food short. He went for the steak petite. Oh, it was great. I had a lot of fun. I mean, it was a whirlwind 24 hours that I had going up to meet with them. And it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. It was good stuff. So anyway, ladies and gentlemen, it's all good in the hood. Sonny, do you have any stories? Otherwise, the Big Dog will take us somewhere else. Oh, and as far as that Roosie's concerned, she is a hottie, period. Okay? I fully admit that. She is a hottie. Oh, that's it? Nothing more?
I guess we lost Couch.
Did we lose Couch?
Or is he on mute?
Oh, yeah, I think we did lose Couch Potato. But we'll bring him back. He's here. And, ladies and gentlemen, give me a quick moment, because I have to set this one up. I have to do it correctly. Yeah, Couch Potato, I know you're back, but hold on a minute.
I got to do the obligatory one, and I get to say this all the time. So hold on. Hold on. You know, you're messing up my switchboard here, Cash Potato. But here we go. Gentlemen.
Sorry about that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you are.
I know. I had to throw the commercials up.
Oh, no, no. The commercials are fine, but, yeah, there's an order to things, and you don't have that. So here we go.
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
There he is, ladies and gentlemen, the man of the hour. Talk about the Vegas team. We are the Rat Pack all together again. Right now, he is Cuervo, the man of the hour. And I gotta say, once again, the best intro ever. I love it. And the obligatory, I hate you, Couch Potato.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Good morning, Cuervo! What's up? What's up, guys? How's everyone this morning?
Doing good. The sports Vegas Rat Pack are together. How's that?
I tell you, it is absolutely awesome. We're doing very well. Cuervo, what brings you into the neck of the woods, pal? What's going on, man?
Oh, not a whole lot. I just, spoke with Sonny earlier this week, and we were like, we need to invade sports talk with the guys. So that's why I'm here. I'm sorry I missed the first hour. I've had a pretty adventurous morning, but I'm here now.
Hey, ladies and gentlemen, when he says he has an adventurous morning, that's like our year for us put together for all three of us.
Nah, he just took his wife to breakfast.
Oh, no, not this time, Sonny.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about. When it's adventurous, it's like for all three of us.
No,
but,
maybe he got dessert from the wife already.
Oh, you know what? I'm not going to touch that one because she's been so tolerant. Guys, think about this. She has been so tolerant of everything that we do here on Sports Talk with the Guys. So I don't pick a fight with Mrs. Cuervo. Hell no.
No, Mrs. Cuervo could kick some ass. I have a feeling.
Well, maybe.
Well, she is hey, scorekeeper, she is from Echo Park. That's all I'm going to say.
then I got it right then, right, Cuervo?
Yeah, you're exactly right.
Okay. Yeah.
Her and sharp objects don't go good together.
Ladies and gentlemen, there it is. We got a definite insight, a glorious insight. And it just proves one thing. I don't mess with Mrs. Cuervo.
That's right.
That's right.
I don't even mess with her.
That's good. So actually, let's go back in time, ladies and gentlemen. Let's go back in time to our first time that we went to Binion's. Cuervo, how did you get hurt again? Was it work-related?
I fell off the chandelier.
I'd like to say yes.
Oh, okay. Good recovery. Well, I'm going to leave that innuendo there because it's a lot of good stuff. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a Laker fan, Lenny Melnick, Matt Alvarez, Tarvino, and the Caps Potato in the chat room. Really good stuff. Maybe Tarvino will give us a call. But I think Tarvino might be pulling what Lenny is. They leave themselves in the chat room to make it look like they're still there. Why do you think I keep ripping Lenny? He would have answered back by now. So that's why I'm going to continue to rip, Lenny Melnick. Hold on a minute.
Bri-Bri might be at the bank. You know, he works at a bank. He might be at the bank, and he's working with customers and listening to you guys through the ear.
Ah, you're right. You're right. So once again, we are in his ear. Guys, did you ever think that the four of us put together could be in a guy's ear? Did you ever think about that? Yeah, so, by the way, Matt Alvarez is telling us that he's trying to find a Mrs. Alvarez. Ooh. Hey, Matt, when you're married before you're 18, that's called, oh, God, what's that called again?
Gonna kick you in.
Yeah, there's a legal term for that. It's on the tip of my tongue, but all right, hey, whatever. Sorry about that. No, I think Matt Alvarez is great. He does a Friday program right here on Sports Talk with the Guys. He has never missed a program. He's awesome. He has a huge audience. I've told this story before. there was a time when I was just so pissed off when Matt was out throwing us, and I was like, what the hell, man? They even told Big Dog, I can handle a lot of things, but damn it, I cannot handle the fact that Matt is out throwing us. Oh, I thought it was great. And there was some friendly competition, but the funny thing is, Matt never knew we were competing. Matt just kept on doing. And it's really good stuff. But we got some sports to talk about, Big Dog. Unless Cuervo has any story right now, Big Dog, take us wherever we're going to go.
Actually, I wanted to ask Sonny his opinion on the fact that I guess Mark Cuban opened his mouth again, and the NBA may be fining him for what he said about the Lakers. You hear about that one?
No, what did he say about the Lakers?
He was talking about the fact that they might sign Dwight Howard, of course, next year, and how much over the salary cap we're going to be. So he said it would probably be a good idea if the Lakers amnestied Kobe Bryant, which I guess is like a violation of the NBA rules about since he's talking about money of the amnesty and stuff, that it's like he's trying to take the players away. So the NBA's looking into the interview, and they might fine him for, I guess, doing what he usually does, which, of course, speaking his mind.
That sounds like Mark Cuban. But here's, you know, this guy gets slapped. I mean, back in 2002, they slapped him with $500,000. I remember that one.
Remember that?
Yeah, half a million bucks. I mean, this guy, he doesn't care. This guy's a billionaire. So, but you know, I'll even put it though. Even a billionaire will notice $500,000 out of his bank bankroll.
<Yeah. laughs>
You know, I don't know, but this guy just doesn't care. I don't know. He seems to be one of these guys that is in the Jerry Buss era. He goes, like I said, he beats to his own drum. And he doesn't care. I mean, I think that's a stupid rule anyway. You can't criticize, you know, they can fine you for what you say. Gosh, last time I heard, we lived in a free country and you have a right to free speech. So I don't understand how you can get fined for having free speech. So I don't get it.
Well, I totally agree. I mean, I guess you can speak your mind as long as you don't own a sports team, I guess.
I guess.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if I may, and I believe Chicago has been nailed for this a few times in the past, it's similar to the tampering rules. You know, a Major League team cannot comment on let's take the Yankees, for instance. The Yankees cannot publicly say that they're interested in Pedro Martinez prior to free agency or prior to whatever, because it's called tampering. You're tampering another person's bit of property. And the player can say, oh, yeah, I want to go to the Yankees, but the Yankees cannot publicly say that, well, we want Pedro Martinez too. It's tampering. And I believe there's a similar circumstance in NBA, NFL and stuff, where if owners actually say, well, that's what I want to do, then you are involving yourselves in the affairs of another team, publicly, subversively, whatever. Cuban was supposed to keep his mouth shut. I know something happened in the Chicago area a few years ago, and I don't recall all the details, but it's tampering, guys. You cannot comment about the affairs of another team, because what is the definition of tampering? Tampering is any comment about another team's players, operations, whatever. That way it's very simple. You just can't comment about another team because you are tampering with that team. You can't do that.
Oh, well, if that's the case, then Cuban is definitely going to get fined by the NBA. The Lakers' only comment was that Cuban's comments were inappropriate and that he should have not said anything about the Lakers' business and their organization. And that's all that they wanted to do. They said they would not file a complaint with the NBA, but the NBA stepped in and said, well, you know what, probably on the same grounds that we were talking about, slightly tampering, they are going to list the entire interview and said during sometime midweek they will decide whether he will be fined or not fined.
I got the I'm going to post what he said. I got what he said on the – and I was actually listening to – I didn't realize what you were talking about there, scorekeeper. I was actually listening to this interview on the Ben and Skin show here in Dallas, which is an ESPN conglomerate, I guess you could say. And this is, I'm going to put what he said in the chat room, and I started right there, so I'm just cutting and pasting what he said. I don't necessarily think it's all that huge. He was just making it a point of what was going on and where each team was. I mean, it's not like he had any insider information about, inside information about where a team was actually standing. This is all public knowledge in reality. So I don't know. I think that's the reason why they're thinking about finding him more so than finding him, because the fact of the matter is that the information that he's putting out is easily obtainable via the internet. So there you go.
Okay.
I don't know.
What were the comments, Ape Dog? And knowing what I said about tambourine, we're going to go to Cuervo and find out his opinion. What were Mr. Cuban's alleged comments?
Okay, what it said was, it says, if you look at their payroll, this is a direct quote from what Couch has pasted. He says, if you look at their payroll, even if Dwight comes back, you still have to ask the question, should they amnesty Kobe? That sounds crazy. Wait a minute, he's close to something. That sounds crazy, but the Lakers are looking at a ridiculous luxury tax bill if they don't do something drastic to reduce their payroll, which is slightly more than $100 million this season and will probably be the same range next season if Howard resigns. This is the last season for the dollar-for-dollar penalty for teams over the luxury tax, which is $70,307,000. To begin the next season, the luxury tax starts at $1.50 per dollar and escalates every $5 million the team is over. If the Lakers are $30 million over, the luxury tax bill would be a whopping $85 million next year. If the team trims payroll down to $20 million over the tax, the Lakers would still get hit with a $45 million bill, and they'd be subject to an even heavier repeat rate in 2014-2015. Although Steve Nash's $9.7 million salary is the only contract currently on the Lakers' books for that year. Because Bryant is on the books for a league-high $30.45 million salary next season, the last year of his contract.
Cuervo, do you have any opinions of that? Because I definitely do.
You said you definitely do, scorekeeper?
He's me.
Yeah, I do. Do you have any opinions on that? Is that tampering? What is that? I mean, come on, honestly.
I mean, I don't know if it's tampering, guys, because, I mean, I don't know the exact definition. People have their own determination or they interpret it the way they want. But let me ask you guys a question, because based on the story, I'm getting kind of confused. What team does Mark Cuban own again?
Yeah.
I think you should worry about the team he owns and not other teams. That's the only point I'm going to make. It's as simple as that, guys.
Ladies and gentlemen, eloquently made, that's the point. That's tampering. Which team do you own? You're supposed to stay out of the affairs of another team. If this is a classic example of tampering, I don't know where you'll find another better one or least. This is tampering in every which way, and that's all I have to say.
How is it? Because he's not really yes, he's referring to certain players' salaries that are out there. Making everybody aware of the rules and how it pins up within the rules for that team. I'm missing where it's – it's not like they're actually going after a guy saying, hey, he should come here because they're going to go over that or something like
Bingo.
That.
Bingo. Sonny, he did. By him saying, if – Howard were to remain on the team. Bingo, that was the tampering right there. Because he's alleging that a player may be a free agent, and he is sending signals while he may be a free agent due to the fiscal effect. Well, we might be interested.
I mean, Sonny, there are crazier things, but that was a tampering right there. When he mentioned that player being a free agent, that was tampering right there.
And plus the fact, too, that he also said that they should amnesty Kobe, which is get rid of Kobe.
Bingo. There's another thing. So that is tampering. I want to bring him on right now. I don't have the, you didn't know? I don't have that for him because it's just not him. But I want to bring Bri on. What's up?
Hi. Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Well, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good, doing good. I've been listening to the show in my car driving for a little bit. Now I'm home, so I was in the chat room logged in, like you said, though. Fake chatting, so. But I was
I hear you, and I appreciate that. So since you've been listening to the runs of the sports world on Saturday morning, let me ask, is it tampering, or do you think that the rules are too excessive and, it's being overdone right here?
I think it's borderline. I mean, he didn't just come out and say it, but, he's one of those guys that thinks he's above the law. One of those old kids, really. That's what you have to look at him as. So he's borderline, crossing the line. So I'm leaning towards, yeah, he did cross it, just a little bit, but I don't think any harm was done.
Wow. So there you go, ladies and gentlemen. My is clearly, oh, yeah, with tampering. I think the big dog agrees with me. Cuervo had an eloquent line of, which team do you own? And, of course, Couch Potato doesn't believe it was tampering because he was commenting about all information that is well-known out there. This is cool, guys. Think about this. It's what Cuervo said, an interpretation. This is the interesting thing on where we all are right here. Big Dog, you want to finish that one up? Do you want to take us somewhere else?
Just one thing I want to mention that I had forgotten about until I read these comments. At the end of next season was Kobe's last season under contract. The Lakers have only one player under contract after next season. So we're going to go from a $110 million payroll to a $10 million payroll. There are a lot of free agents available at the end of next season. So look for the Lakers to wheel and deal. That's
yep.
All I'm going to say, because the only person on the books is Steve Nash after next season. Everyone else comes off the books. Everyone.
Okay. Now, let me ask the obvious question again. Do you really believe Kobe is going to retire? Honestly.
Yes. Kobe's the type of person that once he makes up his mind and he's done everything he can do, he's just going to walk away. I don't have any doubt that he won't go. If his contract is up after next season, if anything, he will sign maybe for one more year, but that's it.
Oh, my God.
Remember, he's 34 years old, but those knees and ankles and everything else has been in the league. By the end of his contract, will have been in the league 18 years and tons of playoff games. He played another 2-3 seasons worth of playoffs. So, I mean, he's got a good 22 years on that body. So he's pretty much done.
Okay, Cuervo, Sonny, and then Brian. Cuervo, do you really believe that? Is Kobe going to retire?
I completely 100% disagree with the big dog, and I know he's the biggest Laker fan out there, and he probably knows better than I do, but I have a feeling that just purely because of how passionate he is for the game, I don't think Kobe goes anywhere for the next 3 years. I think he plays about 2 to 3 more years, and then he calls it a career. I think there's more that he can give. I think he's got more to think. And that's the problem. That's the adventurous morning I've been talking about, guys. If you hear that dog barking in the background, but I think he's got about 2 or 3 more years left in the tank. I just think he's got too much passion for the game to go now, just because he doesn't play well or he doesn't for over one guy. I don't think that happens. I think it's going to come down to the front office. They're going to have a decision to make. Are we going to let Dwight go? Are we going to let Kobe go? Or, as I mentioned to Sonny on our show, are they going to tell these guys, hey, if y'all want to be all-time greats, make it work between the both of you, and let's bring home a championship.
Wow, Sonny.
I don't think he's gonna retire. Not just because they're gonna try to make it work with Dwight Howard. I think the fact that he'll go want to come back and try to win the year after Howard is out of there. I don't think they're gonna sign Howard. I just don't think that they're built for that. And I don't think that Dwight Howard wants or likes the drama that's there, and that's Kobe running his mouth just because he thinks he is the Lakers. And so I don't look at Dwight Howard as the big mouth. I look at Dwight Howard wanting to be the guy, but I also think of him as a silent giant. That's the way I look at him, and he just doesn't want that kind of thing. So I think Kobe stays just for 1 year to see if he can win or make the playoffs without Howard. If he does not make the playoffs, I definitely think Kobe Bryant will be back without question, because he doesn't want to go out, you know, kind of on a downslope of a career. He'll want to end up somewhere on a good slope. But if they don't make the playoffs, I think you can definitely see Kobe Bryant back in the Laker uniform next season.
Wow. All right, Brian.
Well, he's under contract for next season. So he's under contract for next season. But he'd have to be back for next season.
Okay. Fair enough. So he's actually he has 2 years left counting this year, correct?
Yes, this year and next.
Why is he not on the books? Why isn't Kobe Bryant on the books? Explain that part, because I missed on that one.
He's off the books after next season is what I'm saying. After next season.
Got it.
After next season, there's no one on the books but Steve Nash.
Okay. Brian.
I think he's staying, guys. I mean, this guy loves basketball more than anyone, and he's the biggest competitor out there. So he's not going to go out like this. But I think Dwight Howard and the coach will be gone, and I think he'll bring in who he wants to in order to make a last, you know, two-run push at this. I'm going to say 2 years minimum, you know, at least.
Wow, there it is. That's interesting, Big Dog. I'm on the fence on this one, but I am leaning to our esteemed colleagues right here. I think we're all against you on this one. We believe that Kobe is going to stay on beyond his contract. I know what you say. And there's truth to it, but it's funny how we're all on the other side of this.
Huh. It's kind of interesting.
I'll put an asterisk up like they do in the Hall of Fame. If this guy gets seriously hurt, then he'll retire.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. But I just don't see him going.
Nope. Personal, Big Dog, which I think is good for the Lakers. He needs to stay.
No problem. I win either way.
Fair enough, ladies and gentlemen. Well, I know the Big Dog has any more, but before we do that, do our esteemed colleagues have anything that they want to talk about in particular? Brian, is there anything?
Well, I think the Falcons are going to release Michael Turner, which is long overdue. So congratulations to the Falcons.
Wow. Cuervo, your comment on that?
Mute.
He's playing with his dog.
Oh, yeah. He's probably has his mute on. Oh, no, actually, nope. We did lose Cuervo. I do apologize. Sonny, Turner, he's gone, looks like.
I think I disagree, which I very rarely do with Brian. I think they need Michael Turner. I think Turner is a guy that I know they're getting some young movement, you know, with the younger crowd. I get it. I think if they could sign him for less, I think Michael Turner, which he's not burning as much, that's the reason why they're letting him go, should stay right there in Atlanta is what I think. But I think they got the younger crowd coming in over there, and that's one of the reason why they want to cut a contract. But maybe if he renegotiates the contract, I think they should keep him. I mean, for 3 years they used and abused this guy. With over 300 carries two of the 3 years, and he was darn close to 280, if I'm not mistaken, in the third. They like Michael Turner, but I think they like Michael Turner with a little bit less contract.
Well, there it is, ladies and gentlemen. Big Dog, tell us. Or, Sonny, do you have a topic that you want to talk about right now?
Oh, God, no. I'm just along for the ride. I'm glad you guys are bringing up subject, because if I had to think about it, my brain wouldn't actually be able to do it.
Yeah, and speaking of not being able to do it, when we're talking about climbing a ladder, he's still in the chat room, ladies and gentlemen, Lenny Melnick. We have to get him the baby ladder so that he can get up to our height. So I know he's in the chat room. And I love him for staying in the chat room. It counts as one listener. I love it. Love it. Love it. So go ahead, Big Dog. Where else are we going?
Before you do that, Big Dog, and just we were talking about the contract. Next season, Turner is due to, and he's got a salary cap of $8.9 million. That's the reason why they don't want to. They're thinking about ending the relationship. He's scheduled base salary 6.9, and then bonuses of $2 million, a total of $8.9 million toward the cap. Just to let you know.
Last thoughts, Brian?
Sorry, I was getting licked in the face. I apologize.
Your wife is pretty freaky.
Yeah, she's frisky on Saturday morning, I'll tell you.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am impressed. I am impressed. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to give everyone a quick shout. Oh, Lenny's responding in the chat room. Ouch.
He's still there.
Oh, he's there. So, hey, Lenny. I'll buy the stepladder, dude. I will. I'll buy the stepladder for you. It's okay. It'll be one of those Smurf ladders. But anyway, ladies and gentlemen, we are having a good time this early Saturday morning. There was another thing I was going to say, but I lost my train of thought, which is not a shocking news. Oh, yes, ladies and gentlemen, NDB Media will be announcing a special edition of The Tax Man. As you all know, we have a tax channel here on Blog Talk Radio. I have love for my fellow co-hosts. I'm going to show you how to really take advantage of the tax code, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to being a host here on Blog Talk Radio.
Woo-hoo! So,
yep, there's a good opportunity to be made, and let me tell you, it's all legal. So we'll be checking it out. Details to come, check out ndbmedia.net. Anyway, want to put it out there. Big Dog, we have 9 minutes. Where else are we going?
Well, we can go baseball, or we can talk about Mr. Blade Runner. Which would you rather do?
Really quick before you get that. You guys want me to set up a show? You guys want to continue? Because I haven't seen to set up a show. You want me to set up a show, or are you pretty much done?
We're pretty much done. I'm pretty much done.
Okay.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we're pretty much done. Go ahead, Big Dog.
Well, Buster Posey made out big in arbitration. One of the few actually, he settled before they had to go to arbitration. This is one of the few years that no player had gone to arbitration. There were zero players this year, but Buster Posey got an increase of 13 times his salary. He's going to make $8 million this year. the arbitration group was up 89% from last year. But down from 123% from 2011. Big raises were attained by Baltimore catchers Matt Weisters. He got an 11-time increase to $5.5 million. And Cincinnati pitcher Matt Latos got a 10-time salary increase from $575,000 to $5,750,000. So congratulations to those guys. And Mr. Pistorius is out on bail, and things have come out about the shooting. We originally thought that he just shot a shadowy person who turned out, of course, to be the girlfriend. It's turning out that no, she was in the bathroom, and from what he said he heard noises, had noticed that his bathroom window was open earlier, and thought that someone was breaking in. So when he heard the noises in the bathroom, he just shot through the door, he said. And when he opened the bathroom door, or as he was walking to the bathroom door, he realized his girlfriend was not in bed, since it was pitch black, so he says. Opened the door and saw her slumped over, I guess, in the bathroom with 3 shots to her chest, and the 4th shot went into the wall. He says he then picked her up and carried her down the stairs where she died in his arms. I think, oh, all this is bullshit, but that's just my personal
bullshit.
Opinion. Exactly. So he says, of course, that he was afraid for his life as there had been a rash of burglaries, I guess, in that little compound that he lives in, and was afraid that someone was trying to break in, so that's why he reached for his gun, thought his girlfriend was still sleeping in bed, and shot, as I said, through the bathroom door. So, but evidently, he's got some good lawyers because they were able to get him out on bail. He, of course, had to give up all his guns and his passport, as they said that they felt he was not a flight risk, and he's back, I guess, in his home under house arrest or however he is. But what are your guys' opinions on this? I know it's Sonny's opinion because his, I think, agrees with mine.
Just had a frog in my throat, sorry.
Well, very quickly, before I go back to Brian and Cuervo, I want to add on this one. I heard quite a bit of conversation yesterday. This is stand your ground law on steroids. Apparently, you can fire through a bathroom door to hit your, you know, person that, you know, you don't know who's in the house. So it is on steroids. But people are saying that you need to understand this from the South African perspective, that the level of vandalism and criminality, I don't know if that's a correct word, is so high that people are so afraid that for firing through a bathroom is well understood over there. I don't know. Those are the comments I heard. I just think that it was overdone. If this guy was so armed as he is, I mean, he can outrun everyone, for goodness sake. I mean, come on. I think it was just stupid that he did what he did, and he's going to end up paying for it. Cuervo.
Yeah, I missed some of the comments you guys made. I'm kind of distracted right now, but yeah, talking about that runner.
Yeah,
I guess he got he got bond or something like that, or
got bail.
Was, yeah, that's what I'm saying. He got bail. I don't know how, but I guess you know, when you hire the right guys, you hire the right guys. That's all I know.
Yeah, well, very quickly, the judge. Remember, this was done before a judge or a magistrate, and they will not have a judge and jury system in the way that we will. The case will be tried before the magistrate, and the magistrate did say that based on what he was being charged on, I don't see the case being made, but he did throw in the word of culpable homicide, and it's very similar to manslaughter over here. So they're saying that by him mentioning that word, that it's very possible the case may already be determined. What they find him or what they charge them with, no, but the judge may have hinted that he's going to be nailed for culpable homicide. Brian, your thoughts on that?
I haven't really heard too much about it, really, to have an opinion on it now, but shooting through the bathroom door, that's got to be yeah, exactly. I don't really care about this dude.
Yeah.
Burn in prison for all I care, you know.
Yeah. He shot, Blade Runner shot his girlfriend, dude. Can you imagine that? Jeez.
What a good nickname, though, the Blade Runner.
Well, the reason why they call him Blade Runner is because he's on, well, I believe doesn't have his legs.
Right?
I know. He doesn't have his legs. I'm just saying that's a good nickname.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. Big Dog, we have a little bit of time left. Where are we going?
That's about it for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's been a great and glorious morning. It's always a thrill to have everyone. Of course, we have Brian from Georgia, Cuervo from the Windy City of Chicago, of course, the Cash Potato from the Great Republic of Kansas. And, of course, the Big Dog is from the Riverside Shipyards. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the city of Riverside. The Riverside Shipyards.
You almost had it right. It's the Riverside Shipyards, but other than that, you got it pretty close.
Okay. I said ship. You said something else, but that's okay. That's where the Enterprise was built, at the Riverside Shipyard. Ladies and gentlemen, we've been having a great morning. And, of course, you know I'm here in Southern California. It's a very, very glorious morning. I'm going to have a very busy day, but it's a great start. It's absolutely awesome. Brian, do you have any news for us on the Bribe Ride program?
I think it's going to be around March 3rd. I'm going to check, try to do a Sunday. I think everybody can make it, hopefully, on a Sunday night, and just that anniversary show for 1 year of Blog Talk Radio. So I just want all of you guys to attend with us. I'll let you know the date soon. Yeah.
So there it is, guys. Sonny Cuervo, Big Dog. Looks like Brian's coming up on his 1 year anniversary. So Matt Alvarez has that on you, dude. Matt is older.
Well, the only thing, Brian, you know, don't have it too late because, you know, Matt's got to go to school on Monday morning, so he's got to go to bed early. So, you know.
Okay. How about 5 o'clock? Is that good?
There it is. There you go.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, another glorious morning. And Couch Potato, when is your next program?
I have no clue. I'm telling you, I'm so beat. Like I said, I'm so glad I didn't even have to put together a show today. I'm so tired, so I have no clue. But it'll be a local sports, local baseball game. No, we're going to do a show tomorrow. We are going to do that being said. But, yeah, I'm doing nothing that has anything to do with radio today. I'm taking a mental day off.
Sounds good. I think we're going to do that there. But I've got stuff to do today, so it's going to be great. I want to thank everyone. Oh, Matt says he's still with us. So there it is, ladies and gentlemen. The final 10 seconds. Cuervo, Sonny, Bri, Big Dog. I'm the scorekeeper. Thanks, guys. We are out of here.